last week we started this series we're calling House of Heroes. And what we're doing is really looking at each member of the family and saying, how can I be a godly dad? How can I be a godly mom? How can I be a godly kid, right? Because we believe that, listen, revival in our church and in our community and our country actually starts in the home. How many would agree in the short period of time that I've been alive that we've had a breakdown of the home, right? A breakdown of what it looks like to have a godly house. And so I love this whole idea of what it looks like to be a godly family, because here's what I love is we don't have to wait for somebody else to do something. We don't have to wait for November for the new election. We actually get a choice to say, you know what? I'm going to be the change that we need to see in the world today. And that starts in my house. Doesn't start in the White House. It starts in my house where I start to say, you know what? I'm going to be a godly mom. I'm going to be a godly dad. I'm going to be a godly student. And see, that doesn't that free you up? See, I think sometimes, honestly, we like to kind of hold back because we're like, you know, hey, you know what? We as soon as this happens, then I'll be able to do something. The great thing about the gospel is it really brings you freedom. Like you can do what you need to do today, right? So last week we talked about what it looks like to be an influencer as a kid instead of just being influenced all the time, right? And today on Father's Day, I want to talk to the dads and say and talk to you about what it looks like to be a godly father. Here's the truth, okay? Dads, would you agree with me? We can write novels about how to not be a good dad, right? Like, we can write some books on what not to do, right? Like we always feel, anybody like me, when Addison was born, before she was born, I'm like, what am I doing? I remember the conversation, Michelle and I decided we were going to start trying to have a baby, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? I can barely take care of me. I've got to take care of a kid. I remember the first time Addison stayed with me by myself. Michelle had to fly for business to Boston or whatever. And so she's like, okay, you can keep Addison. And I'm like, you know, and I'm fine until they're hungry, wet, or crying. because every dad I've ever known kind of feel like we're in over our heads when it comes to raising children. But the truth is, we really kind of make things up as we go along, right? Because like, it's just hard, right? And we don't feel like we know what we're doing. But here's what I know. I think that most dads want to be not just a great dad, but like their hero to their children. Isn't that right? They really do want to be a great dad. I want to be a hero to my children, right? So last week we looked at Timothy and how he was influenced by his mom and his grandma. And all we know about Timothy's father is that he was Greek. And so we don't know if he was a Christian. Most scholars don't believe that he was. And so he was greatly influenced by his grandmother and his mother. But then Paul comes along and kind of mentors Timothy and was a father figure to Timothy. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 17, here's what it says. For this reason I've sent to you Timothy, my son. Again, he wasn't his son, right? But he's like come alongside of him, who is faithful to the Lord, and he will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul pours into Timothy, and Timothy actually becomes an influencer of influencers. Like he, because Paul comes along and partners with Timothy, like he pours into Timothy, and then Timothy goes on and he writes some of the New Testament, right? 1 and 2 Timothy, right? And he becomes an influencer to even the people in the religious community, right? And so what did Paul pour into Timothy that caused him to actually have influence in the world he lived in? I think that's a great question for us today, right? Instead of complaining about politics and instead of complaining about what the world's doing and what would it look like if we actually knew, hey, you know what? I'm going to be an influencer instead of just being influenced. And again, we talked about that last week. But like, what would it look like if we were influencing the culture around us? 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 10 through 11 says this, you, however, that's what it says, you know all about my teaching. Paul's talking to Timothy, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. So Paul outlines in these scripture just a few things. And then he goes in verse number 15. He says, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. So we get this picture of how, like, some of the qualities that Paul had that probably as Christian dads, we need to pour into our children. Right? And so I want to give you about four things today of how do we be godly fathers. And let me just be honest with you. Like, this is scripture, and Paul is talking to Timothy, but can I just tell you, this is just how to be godly. Okay? Today's Father's Day, so we're gonna target the dads, but this is just how to be godly. And the first thing that Paul would tell Timothy is this, that you got to find your purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not here by accident. Verse number 10 says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my life, and my purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. He has wired you the way you are for a purpose. Aren't you glad? Right? Here's my question. What is your purpose? Why are you here? How has God wired you? Maybe you're like, I don't know what my purpose is. Or maybe you're one of those people like, I know what my purpose is, and everybody around me knows what my purpose is. Right? Let me ask you a question. If I ask your children, like, what is your dad's purpose, what would they say? What would they say? Well, hunting. He does that all the time. Right? Or maybe they would say, work. He's always gone, never at home. Or maybe they would say, football. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's say, hold down the couch. Okay, let me do that one again. Y'all responded really, really well with that one. Hold down the couch. Right? Like, if I ask your children what your purpose is, what would they say? And here's the deal. All of us have the same purpose. Did you know that? All of us have the same purpose. We were wired to worship Jesus and lead others to Him. Right? That's your purpose. Aren't you glad you come to church today? Right? That's your purpose. But how we go about that is different, right? We all have the same purpose, but how many know God has wired you differently? Each one of us, we're part of the body of Christ, and we're not ever going to always be the same. Like, He wired us for a specific purpose, right? He gave me skills and talents and abilities that you don't have, right? Right? I could put one of you up here, and you try to do them dad jokes I did, and you're just like going to flop because you just don't got it. You know what I'm saying? Right? Because some of you are just like, that's terrible. Right? But He's given me talents and abilities to do what I do. And then He's given you special talents and abilities and gifts so that we can come together, worship God, and lead other people to know Jesus. Right? So maybe you say, you know what? I know my purpose is to worship Jesus and lead others, but I just don't know how to do that. And let me just give you a couple of, just one pointer here. Really, really simple. If you don't know, like, how God has wired you, ask yourself this question, or these three questions. What makes you laugh? What breaks your heart or makes you cry? And what makes you rejoice? Right? That'll narrow it down quite a bit. And listen, when you figure that out, it'll make your decisions in life a whole lot simpler. Won't it? When you actually know what God has wired you to do. Every once in a while, and I know this is hard for you to believe, but every once in a while, I will have people who will, I'll go to a conference somewhere, or I'll do something, and or a district meeting or whatever, and I'll have somebody come along and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you come over to this church? Or why don't you go in to do this ministry role over here? And some of you are like, I wish you would. I'm not. But anyway, because I know my purpose. But here's the deal. But listen, if I didn't know what God had wired me to do, how many know it would be easy to kind of just drift, right? If I didn't know what God had called me to do and where He's called me to do it, like, I would just be like, okay, well, what's the pay? How many vacation months do I get, right? Like, what's the benefits? Do I get a company car, right? Like, I would want to know stuff because I didn't know my purpose. But here's what I know. I was in Africa just a few years ago, and one of my friends, he was a pastor, and he was really, really frustrated. And he comes to Africa, and he actually stops becoming a pastor and actually went into evangelism. Because while he was in Africa, he recognized that what God had really gifted him with the ability to do was to be an evangelist. And he's like, I'm frustrating myself trying to be a pastor because that's just what I thought. But actually, God clarified, and I'm supposed to be an evangelist. When I was in Africa, I recognized that I am a lot of things. I'm probably not an evangelist, right? Like I'm a pastor's, I have a pastor's heart. So I'm like calling people and texting people and that kind of thing. God spoke to me. He's like, what I want you to do is I want you to raise money for missions. So my purpose is to raise money for missions and then come alongside churches to be able to bless them and the rural churches specifically. Because listen, most churches on the planet are 100 people or less. But listen, we look at all these big churches like, man, that's cool. And we go and bail out on the small churches. And I'm like, here's what I'm called to come alongside. I had a meeting this last week with a guy who's fixing to start a church in just a few weeks, and I was able to spend some time just trying to pour in some wisdom into him to say, you know what, God's called you here. He's got some things, and here's some tools to help you to get to where you're going. So when somebody comes to me anymore and says, hey, what do you want to do this? I'm like, no, I know that God called me to Gina, Louisiana. I can still take you to Midland, Texas, to the place where God spoke to me. And he called me, not a career move, a call. And he's like, I want you to raise money for missions. I want you to pastor that church. And I want you to come along and champion small churches. So that's what I do. And so when somebody comes with a better offer, it's not better because it's not what God called me to do. Right? And sometimes I see people all the time and they're constantly moving jobs all the time. And I'm not telling you God never asked you to do that, but sometimes it's like, well, how much is it? Listen, it doesn't matter how much you make if it's outside of the purpose God called you to be. Right? And a lot of people go after the money and then they lose their purpose. Because, Dad, here's what I know. You're going to have all kinds of opportunities to coach and to change jobs and to move here and to do this. And listen, when you know what your purpose is, those decisions make really, really easy. It's really easy to make those decisions because you know what God's called you to do. Hey, you could make more money if you just move over to Texas and do this over here. That's fine, but God's got me in Gina, Louisiana for doing what he's called me to do right here. So I don't have to go looking over here and saying, okay, what are we? Oh, what's the bigger and better? It doesn't matter because God called me and I know what my purpose is. Does that make sense, everybody? So what's my purpose? And my purpose is going to be different than your purpose. God put me in places where I have influence in places that you don't have influence. And God put you in places that people would not even give me the time of day because I'm a pastor. And they think we're freaky, right? They're like, you know, I mean, and honestly, the way I dress sometimes, I saw this hoodie one time. I might get it next year. It's just when it gets hot, like, or when it's just cold, like, when does it ever get cold here? January, maybe. I don't know. But it just says, yes, I am a pastor. Because, you know, I wear a hoodie. Like, I'm not just the typical guy. But listen, you have audiences. They wouldn't give me an audience because I don't look like the typical pastor, right? Right? And they'll talk to you, but they won't talk to me. And I can talk to some people that they wouldn't talk to you. Right? So let's not start saying, well, one's up. No. We're coming together to worship God to lead people to Jesus. Right? So dads, we got to know our purpose. Here's the second thing. We got to live out our faith. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 10 says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, and my purpose, and my faith. Now here's the deal. Dad, faith is not private. It's public. You have to live out loud your faith. So what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 says, now faith is confidence in what you have hoped for and the assurance of what you do not see. Let me say it this way. Faith is trusting in something you can't emphatically prove to somebody. Right? Like you got to say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus when I don't. Like you can't say, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus after I understand how everything works. Let me know you will never follow Jesus. Faith is saying, you know what, as much as I can understand, I believe that Jesus died. He was the Son of God. He was crucified to pay the penalty for my sins. He rose again on the third day. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for me. And one day he's coming back to receive me. Right? And that's taken of, and that takes faith to do that, right? And Jesus is going to ask you to do some things sometimes when you follow him that's going to require you to walk out faith. And our temptation is to hold back, right? Until we can figure out how we can afford it. Right? Until we can figure out how we can make it happen. Like, if I can fix it, listen, if you can fix it, it's not faith. That was good. That's not even my notes. That was just right there, download from heaven, everybody. If you can fix it, it's not faith. Right? If you can pay for it because you've already got everything, it's not faith. Right? And he's going to call us sometimes to take a step of faith. And when we live out our faith, we have to do it in front of our children. Right? Let your kids see what it looks like to live out your faith. Right? People, can I just tell you what the world needs today? They need to see some men, the men of God, who will say, you know what? I'm going to live out my faith even when there's no safety net except for Jesus. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to live out my faith. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of different ways. You know, let me just give you a few that I've had to wrestle through. Tithing when I can't afford to tithe. Come on, somebody. How many know it's easy when you got a bank full of money? Right? It's a whole other thing when you're like, you know, tithing, new boat. Y'all never struggle with that, right? Tithing, Gulf Shores 3 times this year. Tithing, eating out every meal. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one that has that struggle? Right? Do you ever get at the end of the year and you get your giving report? I had somebody the other day tell us, actually somebody on staff, like, dude, I didn't know, like, until the end of the year report, I didn't know how much I gave to the church. I could have bought a car. You live out that faith so your children see. Yes, we could do this, but God's called me to this. Right? He may ask you to forgive somebody that you don't believe deserves forgiveness. And you do that in front of your children. They know what that person did to you. They know how bad it hurts you. And when you say, God says, hey, I want you to walk out your faith and forgive just as Christ forgave you. And so far as I know, there's nothing that we've done that he won't forgive. So that means that anything you do for me or against me, then I have to forgive. So that means he's going to say, hey, forgive out loud in front of your children. He may ask you to serve instead of going on the hobby for this time, right? Hey, I need you to serve here. I need you to do this instead of, I'm going to just take this time and go do what I like to do, whatever. Just for a season. Or maybe he may ask you to worship a little different out loud. Right? He may ask you, I know this is crazy. He may ask you, instead of worshiping like this, he may actually ask you to do something totally radical and like, some of y'all were asleep. You're not now. He may say, you know what? Lift your hands. Clap your hands all you. He may actually ask you to jump up and down, right? Why? Because it's, again, Michelle said it this morning, not because the action does anything, but listen, the action in obedience does something spiritually, right? So he may say, you know what? Hey, I'm asking you to take this step. I need you to live your faith out loud. So we got to know our purpose. We got to live out our faith. And then number three, we got to take the hits. I don't like this one. But here's what it says. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith and patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings. They could just have let that out, right? What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra? And the persecutions endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. All of these different towns. The first town Paul goes to, he gets kicked out because he was teaching. And they said, shut up. And they actually kicked him out of the town. The second town he goes to, he goes into this town and they threaten to kill him. So he leaves on his own. The third time, he's actually stoned. Not like we think stoned. Not recreationally stoned. I'm not even going there. But with a stone, they used to pick up stones and stone people till they died. They actually thought Paul was dead, left him for dead. Right? Now, I don't know. Has this ever happened to you? Right? Like, you've probably never been stoned and you've probably never been ran out of a city. But how many of you have ever, like, you got saved, you got baptized, and you thought, this is going to be awesome, and you had the worst week or month of your life? Anybody? Right, we think, oh, baptism, and we celebrate baptism, and you should. But can I just tell you, when you make a public declaration, I'm going to serve Jesus, the devil's going to attack you in every possible way you could absolutely think about, right? Like we thought when we signed up, it's all going to be good, and we're going to be living the dream, and only to find out that actually you're going to have some hits sometimes, right? Again, probably you're not going to be run out of city or stone for your faith, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever lost friends because of your faith? Have you ever been passed over promotion because you wouldn't do the deal that you didn't feel was had integrity and was not the right thing to do? And so you, instead of keeping your job or whatever, or doing something that you didn't feel like was right in God's eyes, you're like, I'm not going to do that. You got passed over. Right? Have you ever not invited, been invited to a party because they knew that you weren't going to, you were going to be the party pooper, not the life of the party? Right? Have you ever not been asked out for a date because you're known as that person who doesn't do what everybody else does? I remember when Michelle and I first got were dating, she was telling me about this guy. He's like, his comment was something along, and she can correct me, but something along like, you're the kind of person that I want to marry later, but right now I'm going to have fun, and I'll come back to you. I would just say this one more time, ladies, and I know you get tired of me hearing this. Listen, you are fine china. Don't let guys treat you like a paper plate. I'm not the rebound. I'm a child of the king. I'm a daughter of the king. So how many know daughters of kings, you don't just treat them any old way? Come on, somebody. That's good preaching. Again, not in my notes, but I thought that would be good, right? Ever been labeled intolerant because of your faith? Take the hit. Listen, your faith is going to cost you, right? John chapter number 15, verses 18 through 19 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and this is why the world hates you. So here's the deal. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to take some hits. Guys, people are going to give you a hard time for a lot of different reasons, right? They may give you a hard time because you come to church today instead of just hanging out today and barbecuing with your family, right? They may give you a hard time. I've had this before where I have and this is common knowledge, okay, but I have covenant eyes that I put on my computer. And what that does is keep me from going to any site that would be inappropriate. And I've had a couple of guys like, really? Like, you're supposed to be the pastor. Don't you have self-control? I have enough self-control and wisdom. Well, I've had people like, I don't need that. Why do I need it? Why? And I've taken some hits because I have a filter on my computer to keep me from watching anything that would not be pleasing to Jesus. But you're not a man? I'm like, And if you dig very hard, how many know, like, you probably need a computer filter too, just putting that out there. Probably the best $14 a month you'll ever spend. Right? You may get a hard time sometimes because you choose not to get wasted every weekend. Take the hit. Listen, when you take the hit, Paul says to Timothy, listen, God rescued me and he's going to rescue you. Let me ask you a question. If your kid did what you asked him to do, a radical obedience of something you asked him to do, how many would take care of your children? Why is it that we don't think that when God asks us to walk out our faith and do something crazy that maybe people look at it like when we take a hit that he's not going to rescue us? Right? He's going to rescue you, right? But when you take a step of faith, take the hit. Here's number four, all right? Here's number four, and that is this. We know the Scripture. Worship team, you guys can come this morning. Know the Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 15. And how from infancy you've known the Holy Spirit, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what I know about Scripture. There's a lot, like I study Scripture. And how many know, like sometimes people come to me and ask me questions, and I'm like, I don't know. Because how many know it doesn't matter how many years you've, like how many degrees you have, like there's a lot of Scripture, a lot of things that like I just don't understand, right? But can I just be honest with you? Like it breaks my heart with the fact that so many people don't read Scripture at all. Don't even try to know it. The only time that we get Scripture is when we come in on a Sunday morning and Pastor Jeff reads it to you, right? Like our Bibles, we're like, you know, I bought my Bible this morning. We have to like pull it out and like, okay, get the dust off because I hadn't picked it up all week, but we're going to church this morning. Church, we got to know the Word. You know why the reason people are going crazy? Because the saints of God don't know what the Word says. We're like, this person's the Antichrist, and this is the apocalypse. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, have you read the Word? Like, we got to know Scripture. He says, when you see all this, this is the beginning of birth pains. And then he says this. He says, listen, even when it gets, like, terrible, like, he says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Right? Like, we're supposed to be people of hope because we've been in the book and our faith has been built because we're reading His Word and we know what it says. One of the greatest things we did over this COVID thing is Michelle and I, on YouVersion, and I just challenge you to do this. If you're not friends with us on YouVersion, just become friends with us. And she has some ladies, and I have some guys, and we'll start another deal tomorrow. But it just is some devotion plans, so you can we interact with each other. We just read a devotion, and then and we just make a comment on what God spoke to us or whatever. Because listen, we've got to engage the Word of God. We've got to know what the Word of God says. And again, I know some people are like, well, I've been in church for so long, I already know. Like, listen, I'm telling you, God wants to bring something fresh in you every single time. Right? So don't ever get to a place where you, right? We've got to come to know what the Scripture says. So I just want to challenge us with that. Because listen, I'm just telling you, right now we're wrestling through some things and I'm trying to figure out some things on, and one of my biggest challenges is the biblical illiteracy of the American church. Like, there's some things that we can't get rid of that doesn't need to be get, because like, we need to be grounded in Scripture. Can I say this to you? We wouldn't be so shaken if we were more grounded. We wouldn't be a bunch of spiritual chickens sometimes if we were more grounded. If we knew what the book said. Right? And so I just challenge you. Guys, listen, let's get in His Word. So I just want to challenge you with this. If you're not friends with us on YouVersion, we'll just start tomorrow. We're gonna do a 40 day plan, and just to engage in Scripture with one another. Amen. But here's what I know, and we're gonna close. Being a dad is tough, isn't it? But I think it's interesting that Paul pours into Timothy, and Timothy becomes an influencer of influencers, and he doesn't say, "Okay, Timothy, this is how you discipline your children." Zero lessons on discipline. It doesn't say three easy steps to make them behave. All of the things that we talked about this morning, knowing purpose, living out your faith, taking the hits, knowing Scripture, is about you and me being the godly people that He's called us to be. To being the godly fathers He's called us to be. To pour that in, and then we become influencers, and our children become influencers, right? I like what John Maxwell says. He says, we teach what we know, we reproduce who we are. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. I want you to stand with me this morning, and I want to end with just one challenging question for us this morning, and that is this. Am I living a life that my children want to be like Jesus? Because they see me living like Jesus.